Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Welcome back to the Toolbox, where September means more than back to school and back to football. We're getting back to our rock and roll roots all this month because it's September. That wonderful time of year right before Rocktober, where if you look closely enough, you can see Jimmy Page's liver change colors. We'll be seeing temps in the high 80s in the L.A. Basin, mid-70s down by the seaside, while the valley is at a not-so-uncomfortable 94 today. Chance of thunderstorms if you're heading up to those misty mountains. Back in 1975, Zeppelin released their sixth studio album. While rumors and stories would emerge regarding the band's antics and excess off the stage, including one incident where a groupie was allegedly violated with a shark. Although there are differing accounts, the story's not totally unverified. One witness account claims that it was not a shark. It was, in fact, a red snapper. September brought to you by Red Lobster. Red Lobster, try the snapper. Right now, Bonham slays the skins, while Paige spanks the plank. It's the Rover on the Toolbox. Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the legendary Hollywood Improv, Mark Leno. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus Dennis Miller joins us for a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the only Carolla who's ever truly labored, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on it. Just to get on, mandate. Get it on. Thanks for listening. I read your tweets. I see how you get your 75-year-old dad to listen to the pod and all that good stuff. Happy Labor Day, and thanks for all that you do. I love when I read those tweets about who you share it with and who you turn the pod on to. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pops
Carolla. 75-year-old dad. How old is Pops Carolla? I should have asked you that.
Yeah.
Like a lawyer, don't ask questions you don't know the answer to.
Okay. My mom turned 85 the other day.
Oh, mazel tov.
And I think my dad is older.
Of course, your dad's older than 75, yeah.
By 3 years.
Oh, my.
Maybe more. I don't know. I don't know when his birthday is.
All that hard living and hard loving.
You don't know when his birthday is. Oh, you know the day of the year.
I don't know the day. I don't know the month.
Yeah, yeah.
No one month
that's
his birthday.
Thick as thieves.
Well, I gotta tell you, this stuff, it's kind of like, you know, which fork's the salad fork and what's the entree fork. It's not something you just know.
No.
You gotta kinda teach it.
Every year you gotta remind yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, and
put a calendar reminder of which fork to use.
Three times, fool.
Matt Fondelier just said your dad's birthday September 14th.
Oh,
September 14th.
Oh, glad you asked.
We'll celebrate it on the cruise.
All right.
You'll be at sea.
Well, I'll have to go down to the Morse code room and send him a wire.
SOS.
I'd be tapping it out. I want to thank Tommy John for this half of the show. TommyJohn.com/Adam. MedMen, you go to MedMen.com, let them know I sent you, and Castrol Edge as well, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. We didn't do my dad's birthday, we didn't really do my mom's birthday, there was sort of my mom's birthday and sort of my grandma's birthday, and they were sort of close enough that there was something for the two of them somewhere, as I recall, around September, and... Yeah, because my mom's birthday was the other day, so my grandmother's birthday must have been like middle of September, so they combined something. My sisters, I know, and that's it. I don't know my grandfather's, I don't know my mom's, I don't know my dad's.
So you didn't acknowledge your mom's birthday either?
No, we didn't acknowledge a lot. And that,
you didn't believe
this
in
last
it,
one.
Like the Easter Bunny. Right. He doesn't believe in it.
Yeah, we didn't do Mother's Day or Father's Day.
Your Carolla's witnesses.
We didn't do anything. So if you don't do it, you don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't know it. Like,
oh, man, your kids are making up for lost time.
Oh, those.
They're going to even the score.
Yeah, big time.
I got to tell you, let me just tell you, all kids, really, all you need to know about life. Natalia didn't make the volleyball team. Sonny didn't make the flag football team, by the way.
Oh, no.
Which is crazy.
Brian, this is the guy you want to do a podcast with?
Yeah.
This is the guy you want to do a podcast with. Yeah, the guy that knows a lot but can't put it together on the field.
You don't need Sean Merriman.
No.
You need Sonny Corolla.
Lights out?
Lights out.
No, that guy lives it.
Gotcha. You want some guy who talks it.
Yeah, right.
Different dude. Dynamic pair.
Got it.
Fantasy BS available now. Hey, people are giving us nice feedback. Your son did a great job. He's a kid. Kid knows his stuff, and he acquitted himself very well in the mic.
Well, thank you. And I assume that'll be some direction he goes. Now, all that you need to know about kids is, in human beings, Lynette's out of town. I drove the kids to school this morning. Natalia drives Lynette insane because Natalia is endless. Mom, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. She has a lot of anxiety. Sonny just sort of sits there, waits to be moved. I've gotten many reports that while school starts at 8:30, Natalia starts driving Mama nuts at 8:05, and it takes 3 minutes to get there and be quiet, drive me insane. I've experienced it. I've been in the kitchen in the morning, like Natalia's like screaming at, you know, Lynette, get dressed, let's go, let's go, let's go. And Lynette's screaming back, it's 8:11. Your school doesn't start till 8:30. Natalia fires back, but she has to go to her lockers, and then she has to go upstairs, and she wants to hang out with her friends, blah, blah, blah.
You got to appreciate that. She's trying to get there on time.
I get it, and I don't want to go through it, but it's Daddy's turn to do the driving this morning as we tape this. So I said, Natalia, we're not going to go through this tomorrow morning. We're going to be wheels up at 8:15. We're going to be in the car.
Whatever that means to you.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the car at 8:15 and driving. If you start coming at me at 8:05 or 8:11 or whatever, it's not going to happen. But we will be moving at 8:15. Now, you can come into my office. I may be looking at my computer in my bathrobe at 8:11 or 8:12, as I will do. I'll just pull on some gym shorts and put on some flip-flops and walk right out the door. I'm not getting out of the car, you know. But I said, don't come at me. Come at me. It's not.
You're not going to school.
I'll wait. Said, fine. Said, okay. Got up this morning. Got a little ta-ta-ta. Hey, Sonny, with you. I said, Natalia, remember the deal. Zipped it. Got in the car. And we just left at 8:15. What gets rid of all of this stuff is consistency. Yep. What freaks kids out and what freaks everybody out and what the people who are inconsistent don't know is that your inconsistency causes anxiety. Mm-hmm. So the people who I used to deal with in a former life where I'd go, look, we're going to Monterey, but we're going to leave early. So I'm going to be by your house at 6 a.m. because we got to make the qualifying race by 2. So we need to be wheels up. And then you'd go like, now, look, I'm not coming by at 6:30. I'm coming by at 6. You got to be away. And then you will have anxiety about that night, and then you'll call them at like 5:45 and go, you're up, right? Like, you're driving. Yep. Like, they don't realize what that causes versus the surefire way to shut Natalia up and to avoid this Suris that goes on in this dance of the screaming tards that goes on in the kitchen every morning, somewhere between 8:03 and 8:21, is you just lock it off. Yeah. It's just 8:15 every morning. The kid gets it immediately, and there'll be no more discussions. We'll just start walking for the car at 8:14 and a half.
We had this exact, being me and Christy, had this exact same discussion a few days, maybe yesterday, a couple days ago, with, so Tessa's transitioning to the new room, or the yellow room.
She looks
up
like a big girl
now. I know,
now.
She looks insanely older, but, and we talked to the teacher, and like, the kids thrive on routine. You have that base of routine, and then you can do anything, but you gotta have these certain, you know, benchmarks. You have, this is the time to wake up, this is the time to have breakfast, the time to have lunch, whatever, you know, recess, whatever it is, you have those benchmarks, and you can do whatever
kids,
you want.
Well, kids and adults thrive on routine.
But it's born into us.
Right, and when you don't realize, nobody realizes that as adults, all we do is scan and profile and scan and profile and scan and profile and scan and profile. That's all we do. And if somebody is inconsistent, has shown, it doesn't take, see, here's the whole thing with the kid. You don't have to leave at 8:15 one day, leave at 8:20 the next day, but the next day you're on time, but the next day. All you have to do is fuck it up one out of 10 days to reset the anxiety.
Yep.
That's all late people have to do. That's all anybody. You know the people who let you down. You know, like anybody. Listen, anybody, if someone is saying to you, if you ever get this conversation where someone is talking to and they're like, look, you, we got to call the gardener, cancel the gardener, whatever they're saying, you know, meet the whatever. If that person says to you, you want to write this down, that means they have experienced you dropping the ball multiple times.
And you should not be wildly offended that they're suggesting it.
If somebody says to you, anybody says, you should write this down, that means they have a history with you.
Yeah.
These are words I have never uttered to Mike August or Kevin Hench or Nick Santora. You want to write this down? Sure. I've done 1,000 transitions with all of them, but I've never, I don't ask so much.
But we travel and stuff.
I would never say to you, write this down. Yeah. I would never say, write it down. It's done. There are other people I say, write this down. The anxieties, you can get rid of it almost immediately by being insanely consistent. What ends up happening is you're inconsistent, then you start arguing with the person, and that then creates another layer of drama and anxiety. So
becomes a thing.
And you're right that it does continue into adult life, because I have that ADD brain where I like to know what's going on. I want to know what the routine is. But God forbid you ask, so what should we expect when we do this? And then it's like, well, you ask too many questions, or Diva alert. And I'm like, I just want to know what to expect. It's kind of important to me, or I get anxiety.
Well, I am saying to everybody,
that's why I called the hotel early and got a better room.
if somebody says to you, write this down, it's because they have studied you like Jane Goodall.
They've been burned.
In the wild.
All right. If you start hearing this subtle little discussion.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
I love that. If you start hearing this. So, we'll leave for dinner at 6. Yeah. But 6 means 6, right?
Like six sharp.
Not 6:30 because it's a surprise party. It's a surprise party. Yeah. So we really need to be like, if anyone ever says that about going or the gardener or look this up, and then they stop and they go, but it's really important.
Like a hard 6.
That you follow. Right. If you start hearing that discussion toward you, it's because you've dropped the ball a lot.
Yeah. You know, it's the sad, the gardener or the housekeeper, whoever that person is, you can, after enough times being burned, you can fire that person or replace them. The people that you're stuck with, the sad thing is when you get to the point where you have to adjust.
Don't
for
fire
them.
Christy.
Like, well, you have to adjust when you're like, we've got to leave at 5:45. And in fact, really, you could leave at 6:15.
Oh, we do that to all our friends and family all the time.
You know the people where you have to adjust to turn the clock.
You give them a different number.
Yeah, we should have done that. Speaking of Christy, at your wedding.
Yes!
Because we were late to the wedding, even though we were there in a cottage 100 yards away.
You were on site, and we made the mistake of starting on time.
That's
on us.
But
we learned our lesson.
Lynette, here's the thing. Girls take a longer time to get ready.
Right.
Which means they should start earlier. and weave that very complicated algorithm into your equation here. Yes.
Did we start just a minute or so late for Fondalier's wedding? A minute.
I would argue.
He's married?
I would argue this. Here's what I would say. I would say that we need to figure it out with weddings because
the start time is a suggestion.
I am not sure. I would reckon that if you started most weddings that you said it's going to be at 1 p.m. and you started right exactly at 1 p.m., you'd have a lot of
stragglers
in there. So on the other hand, we understand how flights work.
Yep.
You know, I don't know that I understand weddings. I don't know if they're hard starts or general suggestions. Yeah. I do know that we should make some sort of some societal agreement, some unwritten agreement that 1 o'clock means you should start going in and finding your seat or whatever that thing is, because it's Yours did start right on time,
yeah,
right?
Yes, it did. And I feel like most weddings I go to are very loose, not loosey-goosey, but it could be 6 minutes after the fact, could be
right.
12 minutes after the fact.
All right. Anyway, I shall talk to Lynette about assuaging Natalia's anxiety. Yeah. But what you have to do is you have to put together 2 weeks of exactly the same time, and then there will be no more
Never
discussion.
Hear about it again.
Yeah. Right. Which is... the person that wants the discussion to stop the most is the person who's in charge of stopping the discussion by leaving at 8:15. Yeah. Now, to be continued. We'll see if we can pull this one off. But
I believe in everyone.
That shall be my advice. It's funny. In one day, her anxiety just went. Well, first off, her anxiety went away because it was me. Because I just went 8:15. 8:15 means 8:15, and I walked in the next room, and she's
that
like, "All right, well, that guy when he says 8:15, it means 8:15."
Right.
All right. Dennis Miller is going to be on. We're going to play some Rotten Tomatoes game.
Real winning streak with Dennis.
Oh, yeah.
Just the one, but still.
Hey, that's a streak.
Yeah. Sonny didn't make his flag football team. Natalia didn't make her volleyball team. Also, as I'll get into tomorrow with Larry Elder in a very special show, when I came home from doing the Ice House, Natalia was in tears over not making the volleyball team, and it was because the coach didn't like her.
And I had
to spend a half hour talking her out of that notion. Yeah. Because if you walk around thinking you didn't get the gig because the coach doesn't like you, life's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. Out of your control.
And what I said to my brother from another mother, Larry Elder, now imagine being black. And you just get that fed to you all the time. The coach doesn't like you. Well, ironically, the one person that does like you is the coach if you're black. But society hates you. You'll ruin every kid. I stayed up all night with Natalia explaining to her that this was not the case.
And it's a seductive explanation. Like, it feels good. Like, oh, that's obviously why I didn't make the team.
It is apparent, Dennis. Sorry.
What's up, big man?
I was explaining how I'd explain to my daughter that the reason she didn't make the volleyball team at age 12 at school wasn't because the coach didn't like her. And
the vertical is only 3 inches.
The first thing I said to her was, how many people tried out? She said, 25. I said, how many people made it? She said, 13. I said, funny discussion. I said, if I was up in the grandstands, if you were up in the grandstands and you were just watching yourself try out and you didn't even know who you were, where would you rank yourself in that group? And she said, 11. To which...
just made the cut.
To which Lynette, it's funny, Lynette said, you'd give yourself an 11 on a 1 to 10? And I said, number 11. And then the new decree, you're either in the conversation or you're out. You can't float in and out like a Mylar balloon. You know, my wife will float into a conversation, grab a few nuggets, and float out of the conversation again. Everyone does that. New rule.
She's the bag for American Beauty.
Yes, you have to be in the conversation or you can get out, but you can't float in and out. So she gave herself 11.
Okay.
And I said, well, we're already getting pretty close to the cutoff line. And... history.
Well,
the rest
by
is
the
history.
Way, Ace, I should tell you that what you just described was the storyline for the penultimate Brady Bunch episode. Not the last one, but the second to last.
I got it. Yeah. You know what I love? Oh, Marcia. I love that an entire episode would be about a vase breaking.
Mm-hmm.
That was one episode. Like, I'd love to be in that writer's room. Because when you do, Dennis, you know, at the beginning of the season, the network goes, we need story outlines for all 16 episodes. Episode one, vase breaks.
A vase breaks.
Okay, good. Episode two, Greg wants to move to the basement. All right, done. Episode three, Greg moves to the basement and breaks another vase. Okay, good. That's good. Number four, Don Drysdale shows up. Okay, great. How's he show up? Don't worry about it. He's friends with somebody.
Boss Can we incorporate over. Davy Jones in any of these?
That's episode seven.
Got it, great.
Boss comes over for dinner.
But episode eight and nine.
I think we did that in season two.
We'll do it
new
again.
Boss.
Joe
new Namath. Boss.
Joe Namath comes by. Shows Bobby how to throw a spiral.
Alice knits Tiger a sweater.
That's right. All right.
Yeah, eventually they break the vase of the mother and father who were cremated by the housekeeper. So, you know, that's when they jump the shark, when they get into the cremation urn.
That's a very special episode.
The Dennis Miller option, everyone, is you can hear on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One as well. And you can shoot him a tweet at Dennis DMZ. Dennis, you ready to play the Rotten Tomatoes game? I feel like you got your feet under you, and now you're ready to make the ascent to the summit.
Yeah, I went away to Europe for 2 weeks, so I'm hoping that we have a La Dolce Vita sort of premise here, maybe the Italian filmmakers, but I'm ready to go.
All right, let's do it.
Wait, oh, that's the wrong one. How do I do that?
Sorry. Oh, it is?
Oh, Brian.
Well, it's all right. Well, you know what? Let me throw in a quick Tommy John here, and then you can get ready. I'll buy you a minute. Tommy John doesn't give an F. They give three Fs: fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. I'm wearing mine right now. We all have them here. They're just the best. They have a no wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay put waistbands, luxurious soft feather light moisture wicking breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching, no riding up. If you don't love your first pair, you'll get a refund because I got the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, but you're not going to have to get yourself involved with that because they are the best and you'll never go back. They have women's underwear now. It's sold out in just 6 weeks and they're now fully back in stock. So you'll go Tommy John. The best thing I can say about them is once you start wearing the Tommy John t-shirts and everything else, I'm wearing their t-shirt right now, by the way, you'll not go back. Right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. We got something?
Any truth to the rumor that the Tommy John surgery is now a vasectomy?
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
All right, the category, Dawson.
Well, in honor of our later guest today, Mark Leneau, who ran the Hollywood Improv for over 30 years, we're going to feature some movies today with famous improvised scenes.
Oh, a lot of Christopher Guest.
Inspired.
Yeah.
And we begin with Jack Nicholson, who must have been a fan of Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show, because while chopping down the door to slay his dear wife, he famously yelled this improvised line. Wait.
Oh, I got some production.
Here's Johnny!
From 1980, The Shining.
I love that movie.
It's great.
I saw it in the theater.
Why did Stanley Kubrick not like, or Stephen King didn't like
Stephen
this
King.
Movie?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a great example of what is lost in movie making today, which is foreplay. Slow burn. You're 40 minutes in. You have no idea what's going on. Now it's we hit the ground, streets of Tokyo, car chase, you know, lights up on, you know, cars skidding around.
40 minutes in, not a lot scary has happened.
No, just some creepiness, but really nothing scary. All right. I love this movie. I'll be angry if I find out that it's anything less than spectacular in the Rotten Tomatoes score. But some of these older movies, they can throw a curveball at you.
Like Gina said, Stephen King didn't like this adaptation. And that's kind of what you get when, you know, an artist like Stephen King has his work adapted by an artist like Stanley Kubrick. You know, they, you don't see eye to eye.
It was no Tim Curry as Pennywise.
That's right.
All right.
I'm locked in. Yep. Dennis, what do you got?
Well, two things real quickly. I remember it had a great trailer, too, where they didn't refer much to the film. It was just like a meta trailer where the elevator opened in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And in slow motion, all that blood came flooding out of it, which was a cool ad. And secondly, the two little girls in there, oddly enough, grew up to be Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi.
Oh my God.
That I did not know. A scary twin.
Come play with us, Dennis.
I'm going to say a 93. I thought it was an epic film, great film. I can't imagine it's not in the 90s, but you never know.
I've never said this before, but I'm rooting for you, buddy, because I wrote down 93.
Yeah. Mm. I went a little higher, but 95.
I thought I actually went a little low with 92.
The Shining is certified fresh at 86.
Oh, my.
Surprising.
And not the audience people. Score at 93. We're men of the people. Yeah, in a weird way, this movie's almost too good to be 100 or into the 90s. It's got so much going on. But anyway, all right. Everyone's in the game. Here we go. Now, my only fear with these kinds of selections is they're all going to be upper shelf stuff. But hopefully somebody's done the math on that.
Next up, Tyrese decided to tease Ooh. The Rock.
Feel better now?
On yeah. the set. And The Rock gave it right back to him, forcing a spit take from Ludacris in this scene.
Hey, Mia, you better hide your baby, or
I'm just playing.
You better hide that big-ass forehead.
I was just joking.
Oh, Fast and Furious.
The film is 2013, Fast and the Furious 6.
Out of how many are we at? 8?
Yeah, I think we're at 8.
Is this 2013?
Yeah. Fate of the 8.
Paul
yeah.
Walker still alive?
Is this the one?
With the...
This is the one before... Paul Walker's alive for this one, and he dies in the next one. Okay.
No, this is the one where he fights the Russian.
That's right. He fights Drago. I do remember that they gave high marks to the one where Paul passed. I think a lot of that was, hey, we miss, you know, Paul's a good guy.
Is Statham in this one?
Anyone? It looks like he's the one, Anyone? He's on the side. Anyone? Is that Statham?
Can't tell. All right. These movies did all right for these kinds of movies. This is the one, I think, where they stole the bank vault, like Rio de Janeiro or something. No,
that was Fast Five.
That was Five. That's my favorite.
What Wait, the which hell one's this one, one then?
Stay them in this one?
I'm going to go a little delicately here as I'm currently lobbying to introduce FF5 at Vin Diesel's AFI tribute. So, I'm going to go a little better on this than I ordinarily would. I'm going to go to 86 again.
Statham is in this one.
Oh, this is the one where they had to parachute the cars out of the planes.
Yeah,
and everything.
Letty had amnesia, and they had to get her memory back.
Well, this is the crazy runway at the end, like the 40-mile runway. Okay.
These movies have some of the greatest scenes in the world because they have scenes that couldn't possibly exist. Mm-hmm. But I'm there You're every in. Second. Yep. I'm in. All right. Sorry. You said what, Dennis?
I'm going to go 86.
Wow.
I don't know why. I'm
generous.
I keep blowing myself out on this sophomore year jinx where I always screw up the second one. So I went against my urge to give it a 68 and flipped it over to a 96.
Wow.
Well, look what number I wrote down, Bald Brian.
I say 68.
Well, you did it.
I mean, so that's what I see. That's
we chose the same number last time. This time you... You flipped the urge to go 68, 186, and I wrote down 68.
So I think Dennis
we're
is
like,
actually...
We're like Bill Murray in the blonde co-ed at the beginning of Ghostbusters.
I think of us right. as more...
That's right, with the cards.
I think of us as more of a super chatty Shields and Yarnell. Thank you.
I think Dennis is actually pretty close. By this point in the series, the movies can figure out what they are, and the critics were on board. Like, all right, these are what they are, and they're hitting every mark. I said 84.
Jesus. Mm. I've never seen one of these movies. It is the last thing
these
I'd be
bad.
Interested in.
They're not bad.
I know I'm going to be cornered sometime on a live show tour and be forced to watch one of these, but I said 65.
Mm.
Fast and Furious 6. Is certified fresh.
No way.
At 69.
Okay.
Very surprised. Very surprised.
People have it at 83.
That's certified fresh?
I didn't know you could be that low at certified.
No. Yeah, 60.
No, he didn't mean to say certified.
He didn't mean to say certified.
I meant to read exactly what is written on this paper. It's certified.
Everybody's still
69.
In the game, and the next three films are also Fast and the Furious films.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't it certified fresh if it's
80,
fresh
85.
And you... Oh, it's got to be over 80?
80 or 85.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Or 80 or something. I got the Hammer certified fresh. That's got to be 80
Put up the
or
Hammer
because like
someone mistyped that because you'll see the little, like, you know, gold ribbon that says certified fresh.
Right. Okay, I got it.
It's fresh.
All right, I got it.
It's fresh.
Moving on.
All right.
We got it.
I'm happy.
Dustin Hoffman, being the method actor that he is, put pebbles in his shoes to maintain a limp in this film. Mm. When an actual cabbie almost slams into him, he retorts his famous improvised line.
And that's where old Daniel comes in, you know what I mean?
Hey! I'm walking here! I'm walking here! Up yours, you son of a bitch! You don't talk me that way! Get out of here!
1969's Midnight Cowboy.
Mmm. I must say, I've never seen this entire movie. I hear it's great. I feel like I'm going to be depressed.
You might be.
Yeah.
Just a couple of guys enjoying New York.
Decided to watch The Champ instead with Voight.
It's a weirdly sweet movie. Like, these two guys are a very odd couple for a friendship.
All right. So the critics had to love this one. But now the question, are we in the high 80s, mid 80s, high 90s? Yes, Gina Grass.
How does the premise keep over this period of time? Do we look back and go, eh?
Is somebody gay in this movie?
He moves to New York. He's a hustler. He's like a gigolo.
That's what I'm saying. How does that keep over the years? We'll see.
Oh, that's an evergreen.
Okay.
John Voight did the method acting. So what he did was put pebbles in his crotch area to play the gay gigolo.
Well, you could be a gay gigolo and service older women, right?
I think he moved to New York with the goal of pleasing women.
Yeah.
Or not with the goal, but that was the intent. That was the idea.
I did that, except for if you swap out North Hollywood and my mom. It didn't work. Okay. So, thank you. The critics like it, but they love it.
She's big north of the border.
Is his name Joe Buck in the movie? Chris, look that up.
Joe Buck, that's the character's name, Joe Buck.
That's amazing.
I think Dustin Hoffman plays Tim McCarver, is his character.
I think this was rated X at the time. It was controversial.
I think it was.
Garagiola.
Only X-rated film to ever win Best Picture.
That's right.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I locked it in. Dennis, what do you got?
Jeez, I'm going to take the X and make it a Roman numeral 10, and I'm going to times it by 8 and say 80.
Okay.
I went with 91.
I went 96.
89.
Midnight Cowboy is certified fresh at 90.
Oh, so close.
I'm keeping it close.
They're right on the verge of working, but not quite.
All right, we're going into the championship rounds.
Next up on a lighter note, Bill Murray plays an aloof groundskeeper in this film and improvises one of its most famous scenes, the Cinderella story.
350 yards left, he's going to hit about a 5-iron, I expect, don't you think? He's got a beautiful backswing.
He got all of that one. He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
1980s, Caddyshack.
Like Caddyshack, but not nearly as much as a lot of people did. It had a whole bunch of individual scenes in it, but it didn't hold together to me as a movie. Let's see, though. But what about the critics? This is tough.
It's also tough because there could have been retroactive reviews, you know, hailing it as a classic.
Such a
comedy.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wide berth.
Wide berth.
I love Ted Knight.
Whew.
Yeah. Great.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was
rotten. Chevy was very smooth in this, too. It was funny. He was sort of taking the piss out of it, but it worked for his character. And I'll hint that I just read a book about the making of this movie because it talked about bringing all the disparate elements together, and there was SNL stuff and Harvard Lampoon stuff, so I read the book, and it was interesting in that it did not gross nearly as much as you'd think, but I can't speak any more about the ratings.
I've locked it in. You got a number, Dennis?
God.
I think it only made around $45 million. And I'm going to guess 45.
Wow.
I'm pretty close. Is it 49?
Oh, my God.
I went high by these standards. I went 74.
I thought I was being safe. I said 76.
Somebody's on the nose.
Oh, wow.
This could be
I
it.
I don't feel good about that.
Caddyshack is certified fresh.
Yes.
It's 74%.
Ooh.
Wait, who said 74?
Me.
Oh, I thought you said 75. Okay. Look at you.
I might have a single-digit score
now
at this
that
point.
Surprises me because the nature, those must be late returns because the nature of the book said that it wasn't really all that well received at the beginning.
Well, the people have it at 87, and I guess when you're coming off of Animal House, everything's going to be a little bit of a letdown. I got to say, yeah, I'm certainly single digits, because I think I've only been a couple of digits away, and that's a minus five there, so look out, world.
One more chance to
one
fumble.
More. Here we go.
Our final movie.
Now, I hope it's one of those Christopher Guest things that we all know is going to be up in the 90s somewhere.
Right, right.
Next up, in the script, all that was written was, Harry and Lloyd test a hitman's patience. This is what happened.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys! Guys!
Well, this is
94's Dumb and Dumber.
This is tough because
it was good what it was.
I mean, it's what it was. Had a lot of laughs, but the critics are going to not love it, but yes.
As a footnote to this, this movie made me think, after I saw The Martian, stay with me, has anyone played a wider range of intelligence than Jeff Daniels?
That
has anyone had
question.
A higher, and I'm not talking about, don't come out with a mentally ill person or someone who's like, has a developmental disability, like autism or something like that.
That's a very good point.
Because he was the NASA chief.
Sean Penn. Oh, sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I get you.
He was the NASA chief in the Martian.
Apple computers, the Gates. Sorry, not Gates.
Well, I think
Jobs. Jobs.
I don't know what the downslope is on Eddie mentor. Redmayne, but the up thing, you know, he played Hawking, so there could have been a widespread
thing,
right?
And Steve Jobs.
Who's the actor you're talking about?
Jeff Daniels.
He plays Steve Jobs' mentor.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Further prove my point. He has that huge range.
Come on, Bri.
So I thought you were suggesting Michael Fassbender
something. Oh, no. That, in that movie, he was
Ashton Kutcher.
Great. He was great in that.
Yes, he was.
He's underrated. Well, I'd say he's underrated.
I agree. I loved him in Looper. He's a great actor. I love him.
Okay. But this is, I'm single digit. I'm square single digits now. I could be four or five, but this can be... The critics could just sort of see it for what it was, and it could be, 75 or 80, right. Or they could go, oh, this is a dumb slapstick farcical movie. I'll give it a 49.
This is Farrelly Brothers, right? Okay.
Okay.
I feel like you get some points for that.
This is 94? What year is this?
Yeah, 94. I don't know if we started, we didn't start hating anybody yet. I have a lead. I'm going to protect it.
I have no idea.
And I think the way to protect it is with a 66.
I think you're going to... Oh, Dennis should probably give his number.
Oh, sorry. Screwed that up. Go ahead, Dennis.
I'll go half that, 33.
Wow.
I think you're going to win, Adam. I think you might lose your single digit score because the Farrelly Brothers did not really sort of reach critical approval till There's Something About Mary. That was a couple years later. So I'm thinking it's pretty low. So, and hey, Jim Carrey just come off of Ace Ventura. He was not very well respected critically. So I'm going to say 48.
Whoa, I said 67. And I thought I was playing it safe.
You and I have been right next to each other the entire game.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Brian, you want to talk some more about the movie? It's fresh.
Watch it be 90.
At 67.
Yes! Oh, thank you, God. Thank you.
Jesus. I was dead wrong.
I've never been right around as much as I've been right around.
Everyone thinks I cheat. Listen to the last minute and a half of the show.
You're going
to
get those trophies taken away.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right. Let's
Gina
see
Grad.
Now.
Gina Grad's been
right. I know Gina Grad's right in the hunt because her and I have been completely simpatico this whole show.
On your tail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm off the podium.
For this game, we're going to have to create a whole new kind of podium. Paul Bryan got 74.
Yeah. Oh.
He can have 1 foot on the third place spot. Dennis Miller off the podium at 97. Leaving Adam and Gina, both of you in single digit scores.
Oh, my God.
Adam, you got a 5.
Not as impressive as negative 16.
Gina Grad. Congratulate your boss. He won. with the 5, you got an 8.
Okay.
Wow.
I still feel good about that.
You lost with an 8. That's brutal.
Crazy.
This is why. Sorry. This is why you have to play the game.
Every once in a while, Gina just killed it.
Yeah.
See?
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But mm-hmm. we're not to spoil it. But
it's never twice in a while.
Yeah. No.
But just once.
Just once. And think of the last time we played at the live show. It couldn't have gone any yeah. more different. We were all in the triple digits.
I think I won 125. Nothing to be proud of.
That was insane.
I don't like to talk about myself, so Dennis, cut me off when I get to minute 22. But the genius of this game is that you can go triple digits mm-hmm. on a Tuesday and on a Thursday be down into singles, and you just never.
Or negative.
You never know. And also.
No, there's only one consistent through line in this entire game, and that's I'm horrid at it.
Yeah, but I think if we took your average score from week one and put it up against this, we'd see some development.
Yeah,
that's progression.
Progression. All right, let's bring it home.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Dennis Miller, you should all check out the Dennis Miller option. And that is on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Thank you very much, my friend.
Hey, so I have to ask you on the Leno commercial this week. Is that you who stalls the car and says, oh, shit?
Yeah, I'm driving the 935. I'm driving Paul Newman's 935 that he drove at Le Mans in 1979.
Oh, I'll have to watch the episode. I just saw the ad, but whoever the guy is, I thought it's either David Jansen or Ace. But I'll have to give it a tune in, my friend.
Yeah, I watched it the other night. It was great. Thanks, Dennis. Check it out.
Bye, guys. Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah, and you'll Bye. Learn, if you guys watch it at Jay Leno's Garage, you'll learn a lot about that car, that Porsche 935. It's an interesting, I don't know if you can find, that online, Max Pana?
Yeah, I'm checking right
now. They just ran through a little, like, here's what it was. Here's the history of the car. Here's who drove it. It's kind of funny when someone else does the homework on your stuff and they present it in such a way. Yeah, me and I'll tell you about it in a second. First, I'll tell you about the MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone. Let's drop the labels. Teachers, executives, parents. At MedMen, you are a customer. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new to cannabis or you're familiar with it, they got lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable. Puts you at ease. So whatever you're trying to achieve, maybe you want a little help relaxing at the end of the day or getting to sleep, or maybe you're going to go see the Doobie Brothers and you want to enjoy it a little more, you just go over to MedMen and they'll dial you in. Check out one of their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or you can visit them online at MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen.com, right, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
I was watching Jay Leno's Garage will air one episode and then air a rerun like after it. And I happened to be on the rerun episode as well as the one that aired. And I was going over the story of, you know, meeting Jay when I was 21 or 22. And, God, it's a weird life, but I'll, it was on the episode, but I'll tell you. I used to work with a guy named Tom Johnson out of Chatsworth. And we were working up in Woodrow Wilson, one of these windy streets that's up the hill, Hollywood Hills. And we happened to be working across the street from Jay Leno's house in 1984, maybe 1985. And it's real tight, windy streets. And there was like no place to park, really. And the neighbor who was friendly with Jay, who I think was renting that house, said, like, oh, we're doing construction. Can we park our car in your driveway? And he was accommodating. And I used to just work. We did a remod, like a bedroom remod on this house up in the hills, Los Angeles, Hollywood Hills. And we'd just eat lunch outside and, you know, whatever. You'd show up at 7, be rolled out, ready to go about 7 a.m., knock off about 3:30. And I would just look across the street, and I'd see Jay Leno, and I'd see him come out of his house sometime that seemed really late to me, like 10:30 or 11. And I've been working for 3 or 4 hours by that point. He'd come out. He'd get his newspaper, And then he'd go back in the house. And then, like, I'd be watching him. And again, and then, like, 2 in the afternoon, he'd come out, open the garage door, and he had all these vintage motorcycles from, like, the 20s and the 30s and the teens. And he'd just go in the garage, and he'd be kind of monkeying around with his motorcycles. And I was into the mechanical stuff, and I'd just be watching him and watching him from next door. I knew he was a stand-up, and but it was pre-Tonight Show. I was just watching him, and I just thought, God damn, what a schedule this guy has.
What, like, a life.
Like, if you just think about the schedule, like, when people are like, oh, what got you into comedy? A lot of it is misery. Like, I'm like, well, I'm with Tom Johnson, and we've made scaffolding out of 2 ladders and a plank, and I'm trying to put stucco on the outside of this guy's house, and it's not working. And this guy's coming out, and he's getting his newspaper, he's heading back in. And I know he's going to go out tonight and tell some jokes at the Comedy and Magic, Hermosa, whatever club. And then he's going to come home again. But his work day hasn't started yet. And now I'm knocking off. Now it's 3:30 in the afternoon. And I'm done with work. And he's in his garage putzing around. He hasn't started work yet. And I used to go over there and I kind of introduce myself. I'm working across the street. I like cars. I recognize you. He was surprised that I recognized him.
Really?
Wasn't really on TV much. I think he, you know, was popping up on Letterman occasionally and things of that nature. But
not
he wasn't
household.
Not householdy. Right. So I, and you know, no internet or anything. You have to see it. No, no. I didn't have a VCR or anything. It was like you had to see it in real time. You had to catch that episode of the Tonight Show where he was on it as a comedian. So he was surprised by that, and I just kept kind of talked to him about comedy and the schedule and like how it worked and everything. And then at some point I just get onto my motorcycle and drive down Laurel Canyon and go to my crappy hot apartment, go to bed. But I remember just kind of thinking like, that's a better schedule. That's a much
that's a better life.
Yeah, between the two, that one's better.
And also, I don't know what he's getting paid, but he's got some motorcycles and he had his Buick, like Roadmaster, his big old Buick parked in the driveway. And I just remember thinking, like, I think he's making money, and I know I like this schedule better. I'm not, you know, the thing about being a morning person or a night person, that's just you. And I'm not a morning guy. And some people are.
No, you tell me, peeps.
I'm not, right.
That's a tough life, that morning show life.
That sucks.
Wow.
I remember all done it.
Ralph Garman told me, you told the story of Ralph Garman, I think, saying, like, I've been tired for 8 years.
Yeah. The first thing people say is, congratulations on the morning show. You'll never get used to this schedule.
Yes. Yes.
Jay Thomas said the same thing.
I would say, I used to joke all the time when. Yeah,
he did.
He did. There's a couple things. I'm always confused when people have no idea what radio schedules were. I don't expect my kids to know because that's a bygone era. Right. But like when they'll go, they'd say like, what do you do? And they'd go, I do the mornings at KLSX. Oh, what time do you have to be there? And I'd go like 6 a.m. And I go, oh, whoa, that's early.
Why?
And it's like,
yeah.
you don't know the... Like,
and they start to verbalize the math in real time.
It's been this way for a million years, like 6 to 10. Yeah. And then they do these questions. Every day?
What time do you get up? What time do you go to bed?
Have you ever heard the Rev call? You like your Mark and Brian's or your Kevin and Bean's? Yeah, well, on Mondays and Wednesdays, yeah. And then the Jewish holidays, of course, but not on a Thursday.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, of course, every day, numbskull. Like, what? You live in this town. You have a radio. It's in your car. Yeah. How? You're 40. Like, what is this? Then, yeah, they start doing the thing where they go, so, wait, what time's it start? Yep. And you go, 6 a.m. And they go, oh, which is already bad, but now they're back timing their math.
They're verbalizing the math in real time.
Well, what? Yeah, because they're doing the math. Like, do you sleep at the radio station? Like, you sleep in the studio, right? They just wake you up and put a mic in front of you? Like, yeah. And so you go, well, no. And they go, oh, shoot. Well, what time do you have to get up? I do like that one. Yeah. I don't know. If you have a regular job and you live 20 minutes away from the regular job, look, you can work at a sewage treatment facility. If you have to be there at 6 a.m., it's still kind of the what time do you have to get up. You have to get up before.
Right.
We'll do that math.
We got that part.
Then we're going to back out the 20-minute drive, so do that.
Brush your teeth.
There's a bar where I take a leak and have a piece of toast, so it's back on another 15 minutes from that. And then... when you tell them you wake up at 5 or 4:45 or something, then they got to go revisit it. Every day?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, every day. No, I don't work the swing shift and then the morning shift and then drive time. I just the mornings.
You know what it feels like the subtext is? And Gina, you did this recently. The subtext of the conversation is always, man, you have a cool job. Please tell me all the bad parts.
Right.
Like, I want to hear about it. Can't all be good.
It's you got to sleep at 6:30 at night.
A little bit.
And then they do this one. At some point, I go... I got to get up every day at 4:45. They go, I would kill myself. And I realized, what if I just said that? What do you do? I drive a bakery truck.
Ugh.
I would kill myself.
It's like,
such poor etiquette.
Yeah. It's pretty rude.
Yes. I work with handicapped children. I would kill myself. Like, I'm telling you what I've learned is... The gig is, if you want to put a happy spin on it, here's how people are wired. If you want to put a happy spin on it, you get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars on occasion.
The Royal Week.
Sometimes millions. And you're literally done with work by 10 or 10:30 every day. You can go to Foga de Chow and eat at 11 alone every day. And it'll be cheap on your salary. That's the reality of your job. Now
the bargain,
the point is the Schadenfreude part that people try to infuse, because I understood it. Because when people give a job where they go, what do? I dispose of medical waste. You go, well, there you go. Yeah.
No follow up questions.
That sounds good.
Yeah, no take care.
There you go. Wow. And you try to find happy things, but good union though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, free syringes, I guess, right? I mean, that's good. Okay.
Is your boss cool? There
you
go.
Yeah, it's good. Good. So,
how many breaks you get?
So when people are trying to infuse happy into whatever it is you're doing, they're thinking sad.
Yeah.
When they're trying to pick it apart, you know, when you're going like, I'm a high-priced attorney. Yeah, but I bet that phone's always, I mean, you're married to the phone, though, right? I mean,
you're on call 24/7.
You're on call, right? Like, if they're looking for something bad, that means we've established you're doing something good.
Yeah, envy.
And if you ever get the super happy, oh, there you go. Well, good for you.
And as it pertains to the schedule.
Nothing wrong with that.
As it pertains to the schedule and the questions and the conversation, that final one is always, once they get to the math to that point, it's always, well, tell me to go to bed.
Yeah.
Right. I always want to know, tell me to go to bed.
There's that one. Right. I remember... when I was filming the aforementioned Hammer, and we're doing one of the last scenes, I'm in the gym. I'm hitting the heavy bag. If you look up at the wall, I think the clock says 2:30. Maybe it says 3 a.m. I can't remember. The clock on the wall in the Hammer hitting the heavy bag at night in the gym was the time it was. And I remember thinking, we've been working till 3 a.m., or maybe it was 2:30. I don't remember what it is, but I remember thinking, like, I got to go home and I got to sleep for like an hour.
Quick turnaround.
Before I'm doing the morning show. Because there was 2 weeks where I shot a movie and did the morning show, which is, I do not recommend to anybody.
Good thing you just had to throw in a joke every night. Oh, no, it was your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your show and your movie, by the way. It's not like someone just hands you a script and you go, yeah, I got it. And you just go like, what are we doing today? There's like pages and pages and pages. And like, it was like, ugh. But as I've always said, I don't know, making an independent film sort of like Triplets. There's never a good time to have them. There just isn't. You just do it. I just remember my agent going, why? Why now? Like, what are you doing? And I just remember thinking, there is never a good time.
Why not?
There is never a good time for this.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Sonny and Natalia were itty bitty. They showed up at the set, I remember, and like swaddled. Yes.
Oh.
All right. My episode of Jay Leno's Garage is up on CNBC if you guys want to see that. Yes, Gina.
I have a little bit of an odd follow-up to your salon story. Might want to check that out in a moment.
All right.
You want to do it now?
Yeah, give it to me now.
So I know that the vast complaint, and well documented that no matter where you go, even if it's a great clips or whatever, you know, that caters to adults, you're going to hear the Rihanna, you're going to hear the Katy Perry, and it is the worst.
Right.
Well, I got a blowout little hairdo today because we were taking some pictures with the merch, wanted to look nice.
Nice.
And so this is in the W Hotel in Hollywood. Doesn't get trendier than that. All the little girls that work there are just full out, head to toe, done up. The clientele is very hoity-toity.
I only stay at the M, but I get it.
And my head's back in the sink, and the music comes on at this very trendy place, and this is what's on.
Oh, my girl.
Went the other way. It was Motown. The whole Tracks of My Tears came next. It was Motown the whole time I was there.
You're recording this on your phone. I like that.
Well, she thought I was recording her.
The W Hotel is kind of semi-famous for having that W Hotel sound going throughout their hotel. That sort of low-key, techno-y kind of EDM.
Yeah.
But like real low-key. Like there's like playlists on, you know, on certain music things like W Hotel style.
Oh, there lobby. Is.
Yeah.
But I was shocked, and then it kept playing the oldies hits, and I kept recording, but the girl was so young and so sort of savvy to what I was doing. I think she thought I was like spying on her for Yelp, so I just stopped. Mm-hmm. But it was the Motown for 45 minutes.
How lovely.
It was weird. It was beautiful.
I'll have to go and get my blowouts there from now on.
Just a weird twist of fate.
I tried it. My thing is I don't know a lot, but if someone just said, quick, would you like a blowout or not? The answer is always no.
Really?
Well, because I'm not exactly familiar with a blowout, right. And if I hear blow and out put together... Yeah.
I thought it'd be yes, just in case.
I just say no, just in case. Well, there's a happy blowout, and then there's a very sad blowout.
Yes, the side of the road.
As well. Yeah, the side of the underpants as well.
Right.
I'm going to file my girl up there with Dancing in the Streets in Motown songs that I'm not particularly fond of.
Okay.
Tired of or don't
yeah, like? Is it just F'd
it's
out?
It's a good song that doesn't really go anywhere in my
world.
It just kind of moves along, but it doesn't kick into any kind of drive
nobody
or anything.
Hates it.
No, and I like it better than Dancing in the Streets, but I have a handful of Motown songs that I never feel like. Not what I love. But I did make Max Zapata on the way back from... Laguna Seca, listened to about 18 Spinners songs, right? Yes.
How's that?
Yeah, it was great. Adam likes to use his time in the car to introduce me to...
to educate.
To educate, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You love those Spinners, right?
I do. I like that you like arrangements, because it's fun for me to listen to.
Yeah, we were listening... I'll Be Around. Yeah, this is one of the ones we listened to. You know what... great song.
Oh, yeah, this is a great one.
Yeah. This is a great Spinner song. And you forgot, we listened to Then Came You with Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
And you forget how great Dionne Warwick's voice
back in the day
is.
Aunt to Whitney Houston, right?
That's what I... spat out somewhere in our car, I think. It sounded about right, yeah. Well, I'll let you find Then Came You, and first I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. I'll buy you a little time. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, everyone. Engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance. For your car three times.
Yeah. Three times, fool.
Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's the best. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine with Castrol Edge. Do we got a little Dionne in that?
She's Whitney Houston's cousin.
Cousin.
Oh, okay.
Forget the Dionne.
I just think that's what friends are for.
There's two people I won't let blow me.
I hope they're in this room.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Nope. It's Sandra Bernhardt.
Okay, I get where this is going.
And Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
And there's two people I will let blow me. Lynette.
That was
and
nice.
Bernadette Peters.
Okay.
Oh, I think Carly
for different reasons.
Carly Simon should be on your first list.
Yeah. Mick Jagger probably doesn't make the cut.
I was going to say, we get a whole.
I don't like
Tyler.
That big mouth.
Steven Tyler, you're out.
I don't want to be ringing that dinner triangle with my cock. Turn it up. She gets into the she gets in a full Deion Santa.
Oh. Now that I have found you. How did
I live without you? I don't know, baby. I miss these songs where they go back and forth. Now I hear big fat DJ Khaled yelling his name up there, taking a dump.
Adam and I were jamming pretty hard. I'm so darn
proud of you. I did Deion's hand.
Put your hands up. I'd like to see Chris and Adam do this on the cruise at karaoke night.
I'll do it.
Be the best. Be the
best. She's going to do her thing in a second. She did her, Then came you, then came you. I never knew love before. Then came you, then came you. And then kick it up a notch. Gonna bring it up.
Ooh, clap for the key change.
Yeah. There she goes. All right. Turn it up a little, Brian. She's gonna do her ho 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 ho.
The maximum volume up.
Okay. To the spinners, everybody. You will not be disappointed.
This is good. And a pleasant surprise, because when you said Then Came You, I thought you were talking about this song.
Oh, the Webster theme.
Also Dionne Warwick.
Alex Karras.
Listen to this.
Guard. It's not the thing.
You look at the beginning of these 80s sitcoms.
That was Emmanuel Lewis.
They are pure parody. They play like parodies.
And also, right? Adam, in the car, we were blasting a couple other songs last week. I recorded one of them. Oh. This is volume at max.
I love chick rock.
Ashley Simpson.
Really?
I love pop chick rock.
We can edit that out, right? We can edit that
out. Everyone in the car loves it.
Yeah,
except for Sonny.
Yeah. Didn't want to get dropped off the side of the road.
Now, I don't like the stuff that's pumped into the barber's shop, but I love this stuff. I love Avril Lavigne. Mm. Oh, man, do I love her. Little minx. I'm putting her on my list of people that are allowed to blow me.
Oh, wow.
All right? You've just been added, Avra.
Avra?
Or I call you
April. Avracadavra.
As I call you in America, April. That's right.
I'm sure she'll be on.
Wow.
All right. Let's see. Seattle Moore Theater coming up next Thursday up there doing a live pod. And then Phoenix and Anaheim. You go to amcroll.com for all the tickets. Mark Lano. Or sorry, Lano. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Lano. We'll bring him in a second. And we'll talk comedy after this break and good sports. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. on Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. Good sport. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sport. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights,
riffing on bad stuff on movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans, especially football fans. We did it, everybody. It's football season. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. Welcome to a very special episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports, Ace.
Yeah, man. Real quick, before we get to all the prognosticating, betonline.ag. Football's here, as Sheck just said, and you can get all the action for your college and NFL teams, football, and, well, let's focus on football right now. There's a head-to-head betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use a promo code, podcast1. Receive 50% off of sign-up bonus today, so you can get 50% sign-up bonus, or you should receive a 50% sign-up bonus when you sign up today using the code podcast1, 50% sign up bonus. BetOnline.ag, exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Huge matchups start opening weekend of NFL football. Get in on the action today and sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1. All right. Where was we?
Pigskin, Ace. Yeah. Pigskin is what we're talking about. Swine wrapped around some inflated thing, and we throw it around or watch other people do it, and we swoon for it for the next 20 weeks of our lives. The first weekend of college football now in the books. Pro football awaits our eyeballs. I know you're over the moon. I'm over the moon. Cousin Sal, all the fellas are awaiting, including the big kickout draft that I've got coming up. Fantasy draft coming up tomorrow night, Ace.
Oh, we're going to kick them out.
Yeah.
Who are the players? Who are the potential characters?
The people in the league that are, you know, that are out there. Sal, who cooked up about a decade ago the diabolical scheme that whoever the reigning champion is kicks out the night of the draft, not a second before, kicks someone of his choosing, Survivor style, out of the league, and we do it so late, right up against the start of the season, that there's no chance to get into another league. So you're kind of screwed for the entire season in terms of fantasy.
And of course, the beauty is it's not via email. It's done on premises.
No, it's humiliating. I've been kicked out once before. Sal did it to me as a, I think we've covered that extensively.
The best video ever.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And there's Randy / Brad, and there's John Hamm, and there's Bill Simmons, the sports guy, and there's Kevin Hench and Tony Barbieri, and late from the Adam Carolla radio show, Kyle Bauer, the Husky Jesus, and you know, so on and so forth. So it's a gaggle of people that they're gonna get together at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and there's no show tomorrow, which is good because I need to really focus in on what I'm going to do. The time is at hand.
You're in charge, right? Of throwing somebody out.
Yes, but as I mentioned, Sporty Simmons said on his podcast too. Cousin Sal, I'm not going to give Sheck the credit. I'm going to quit for 1 year, and then I'll come back. No, that's not what quitting is. You don't get to announce a hiatus, a self-imposed hiatus, that you're going to return from at your choosing. That's not the way it works. If you quit, then you've left the league, and I'll replace you with someone.
A lot of responsibility, though. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, Sheck. I don't feel for you right now, you know?
Really?
Well, I mean, you're going to have to toss somebody.
Somebody gets mad. Yeah, people don't like it. People don't.
Well, it's a big deal.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, let me say this. You know, in terms of being thrown out of your fantasy football league, I would feel like if I made it 7, 8, 10 seasons without being thrown out, I wouldn't feel good about that. Hmm. There's a certain danger. You know what I mean? You have to be a player. You know what I mean? At some point, it's a good thing if a woman slaps you in the face.
That's right, Ace.
Otherwise, you're just who?
Right.
Guy, the guy picks his nose and sits in the corner
as
whenever
say,
else
hate,
is partying?
Hate is not the opposite of love. Indifference is,
right.
Ace. And you don't want to. And to blend that with what Reggie Jackson, or with, I think John Madden used to say that about his 70s Oakland Raiders, is if they ain't booing, they don't know who you are. We want to get booed. I want to get booed. I want to have a little edge to me, right? Yeah. If you're so vanilla that nobody even considers kicking you out, then what are you bringing to the table?
Well, and you join the pantheon of greats, John Hamm, Dave Damashek.
It was a ham at the height of his Mad Men powers getting kicked out of the league and just being stunned. Wait, what? This is a joke.
No,
you're not actually kicking me out of the league.
Is anyone lobbying at this point not to be thrown out? And the process, a little window into the decision-making process.
Somebody who I didn't mention was the Dutch Mook. He's the only person who's reached out to me to say, and it did not play like he was doing it as a joke, really said, hey, really looking forward to seeing you at the draft in a week or so. Where's your dignity, man?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, are you looking forward to me just send this to the 9 other guys in the league? I doubt it. You did.
Interesting.
Looking forward to seeing me.
Well, I think there's that impulse when you get pulled over by a cop, there's that little part of your brain that goes, I got $100 on me. Like, can I just give them the $100? Can we just get on with our lives? But then there's a, that could mean trouble. Though, you know, that could come back and bite you. I feel there's that going on in the psyche of many of these gentlemen.
For sure. And then, while Simmons's move is perennially, is to beg to be. It's an interesting psychological ploy because he said, I want to get kicked out. I hope you do. I'm sick of fantasy football. I'm sick of this league. I hope you kick me out. Mm. So he's trying to take away any joy of kicking him out by announcing this to the people. Mm. I think it's a lame bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think I should take him up on it. I've said too much. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Have you figured out the delivery system yet? Now, obviously, you can't share that with
everybody.
I
have a little bit. I have some of the framework established. I'll let you know about that off the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not
get into it. The best part is how the news is delivered.
That's right.
When Sheck got thrown out famously, it was diabolical because Sal had it between two players who then had to compete to see who was going to get thrown out by completing a puzzle. But the puzzle, when it was translated, threw Dave out.
That's right.
Which
yes.
is a,
the fully formed puzzle read, Aloha, Sheck. See you next year.
Yeah. That's as zig as when someone else is zag as you can possibly get.
Ace, we'll pick some games later in the week as Sunday approaches, but let's get a couple in the books here. Just for fun, let's start off with the season kickoff game. Usually, for about a 10-year run, whoever the defending champ is gets the home game, standardly, with one exception when the Ravens won, the Orioles had a game, and so they had to play it in Denver. Anyway, the home team won for like 10 years in a row, but last year, the Chiefs went into Foxborough and whipped the Patriots. Remember that? Remember that's how the season started? It's crazy. I have a hunch your season kickoff game, the Atlanta Falcons, are at the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Those two teams played in the divisional round. You may recall the ball went through Julio Jones's hands in the last couple of minutes there. They might have dashed the title hopes of those Eagles with a touchdown there. They're getting it on again. I have a hunch it's the Falcons this time around going into Philly to take down Nick Foles and company.
It always seems to work that way. Football has so much of an emotional element to it that other sports don't seem to work that way. You know, like, you know, if one of the Williams sisters is playing spindly blonde number 7, they're just going to win every time. It doesn't matter. Oh, she's angry. She was embarrassed last time by Serena. Now she wants revenge. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't work that way with a lot of sports.
That's so right. Yeah, you're
but
right.
Football is a sport that seems to work that way, which is I kind of part one of the reasons we love it, where they like they were this close, now they're going back. Conversely, there's always a little that let down by the team that won the Super Bowl. I wonder if there's more of a letdown. You got to wonder if a team who almost routinely wins the Super Bowl, like the Patriots, lets down more than
they
a team.
Get, it doesn't really matter until about week 10, as long as we aren't, you know, 1-8 or whatever. It, you know, as long as we get to the 2/3 point of the season, that's when we hit the gas. That is, in fact, talking to the successful franchises. They do recognize that it doesn't really start counting until November.
Yeah, my only gambling tip, or the only algorithm I've ever been able to figure out, is when, sorry Gary, but when snake bit franchises like the San Diego Chargers are like, you blink your eyes and they're 7-1, when they lose their next game, they skid.
Ha!
They don't get it back. They end up finishing 500.
If you come out of the gate, yes. If you're the rabbit, as it were, the Chiefs did that last year. Right. Remember, they were, oh, the Alex Smith's the MVP. Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. They're a juggernaut. They're 5-0.
Right. Conversely, when the Patriots lose a game, bet on them to win the next game. Great right. franchises don't go on skids. Your Pittsburgh Steelers never did. The Cowboys in their heyday of the aforementioned Patriots. Like, you pick the team that is San Francisco 49ers. I'm not talking about a team that wins the Super Bowl like Baltimore. I'm talking about the franchise teams that put together the dynasty type runs. They don't have these little chapters where they went on skids in the middle of their runs. They'd lose a game, they come right back and prove everyone why they were best the following week. They didn't go in three games.
That is absolutely right, and I'll give it to you. 27-17, the road team is how I think the season kickoff goes. The Falcons, and I like them very much. We'll give you some Super Bowl picks later on, but I really like this Falcons team.
I'm with you on that.
All right, very good. We'll be back. We're not on tomorrow, though. In fact, Ace is doing an in-depth kibitz session, so we're going to sit that one out, and we'll be back nice and fresh for you on Wednesday with a new Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. For now, though, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek out.